When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
On consecutive nights this week, four out of the eight IPL teams participated in perhaps the two best chases in the history of this tournament. The first of those in Sharjah witnessed the highest ever chase in the IPL as Rajasthan reeled in the Kings 11 Punjab's target of 224, thanks to 86 runs being scored from the final 27 balls. And a day later in Dubai, Mumbai Indians went a notch better by getting 79 runs from the last four RCB overs when they needed 80. This high-scoring affair ensured that a brilliant super over was underway after the match ended in a tie, albeit a very low-scoring super over. And this tournament just burst to life. Commiserations to KL Rahul and Ishan Kishan. End, but what a couple of nights we've had, Rudra.
Incredible. And I know we want to talk about the chases, but
yeah,
shall we start by talking about those two super overs? And how is it possible that you have teams going berserk like that in the normal 20 overs of the match, and then in the super overs, you know, Navdeep Saini, Jasprit Bumrah, they bowled brilliantly and they kept them quiet. You know, what happened there?
Yeah, see, with the second super over of this IPL that we saw, which was basically in the Mumbai Indians RCB game, there was only one reason why it was low scoring, because Ishan Kishan wasn't sent back out to bat. Now, that guy got 99 runs, right? He hit I think two sixes in the last over, four sixes in the last three overs to get to 99. He was one shot away from not just this 100, but also winning the match, like boundary clearance.
Yeah.
How can you not send this guy back out? Like, they basically sent Pollard, who was also in form, which makes sense. But at the other end, it was Hardik Pandya for the six balls and Rohit Sharma, who batted 25 matches ago. Right? Like, that's what it felt like by the time the match ended.
And he had what, like eight runs from eight balls? I mean, why did he come out at all?
Exactly. So, weirdly enough, the team that bats second in an IPL game that leads to a super over, not just an IPL game, in a game of cricket that leads to a super over, has to bat first, right? Now, they have a distinct advantage because the guys are still out there in the middle who caused the super over. They're warmed up, man. They're completely warmed up. And, you know, they're not tail enders, right? Even if they are, maybe you should plan on sending one of them in the super over with a top order batsman. But you had Kishan and Pollard scoring 79 runs from 24 balls. Yes. 79 runs. I mean, they missed a trick there. That wasn't even a trick. They lost the match because of that. And they scored, five runs, six runs? God knows what it was, but it was bad to watch.
No, but I think maybe this will set a template, a future template for the batting team in the chasing team in the super over. And I think captains will now not send in other people when they have a batsman in form at the center.
Wasn't this template already in place, Rudra? Weren't most captains anyway observing this? Except for Rohit yesterday for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, you exactly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a different reason for it. I mean, Rohit's not a captain who makes too many bad decisions. Of course, absolutely. I mean, he's one of the best out there in T20s in the IPL. Fantastic captain. So it maybe there was a reason that we don't know about. Yeah. But yes, I mean, incredible. I mean, is this how it's going to be? I mean, when the first chase in Sharjah, and I'm thinking, okay, this is Sharjah. Okay, this is the Desert Storm ground where clearly we'll see many more desert storms and we've been already seeing a whole lot of them and the you know the boundary is a little closer than most of the other grounds. The pitch is clearly just set up for batsmen to go at it, so you know and that felt like okay that was a special chase. It's a great match, of course made even more special by the Tewatia incident, but then it happened in Dubai. And so this clearly is maybe going to be a very, very close IPL, I think.
Yeah, and a very high-scoring one too. Because yesterday, when Bangalore were batting first, I think they scored like, you know, I mean, their openers in Padikkal and Finch got off to a flyer as they're doing. And then, you know, once Padikkal got out and Kohli walked in, the rate really dropped, the rate of scoring, right? Because like, Kohli wasn't in form. And I think 90 from 9 overs became 95 from 12. And 200 looked impossible at this point. But like you so rightly mentioned, these... I don't know. I mean, are these grounds really so small? Because I want to go back to Desert Storm for a second, right? Like, has the ground been refurbished since? Have they pulled... You know, in the electronic hoardings in, because when Tendulkar was hitting those sixes off Damien Fleming and Kasparovic and Tom Moody, I swear, or maybe Tendulkar is just really small, right? Like, just the ground still looked big, but now it looks tiny, man. It looks like anybody can really, like, you know, swing for the fences. And as you know, we've discussed this in our previous podcast. No, as Pat Cummins took on Bumrah and top edges were going for sixes.
Yes. No, I think a couple of things. Firstly, I think we were much younger. Yes, and so for us, the grounds, you know, I don't think we had a proper perspective on how small or how large the ground was. I think the Sharjah ground has always been kind of small. But also, the other thing is that I know for a fact that the boundaries have been pulled in for the IPL. So the grounds are a little smaller
About the clearances into the stands, Rudra? That's what I mean. Like, has the ground shrunk? Have they pulled it in? Like, you
Of course not. Of course not. And if you remember, Tendulkar hitting Kasparovic and Tom Moody, he was clearing the grounds as well. He was hitting them way up into the stands. And there's an interesting thing here, which is that a cricketer friend of mine told me once that, you know, it's not when you have a smaller ground, you just have more confidence about clearing the ground. So you go for your shots more. And if you go for your shots more and you connect, okay, I mean, most of the time you're going to, whether the ground is small or big, you're going to hit it, you know, really hard. If you connect well, it's going to go out into the stands. So it's not about how hard you're hitting, it's about the confidence of being of going for your shots because you know the ground is already small. And that reminds me of, if you remember, there was this incredible innings. I forget what the match was all about, but there was the classic Sanath Jayasurya Kalavitharana opening and the ground was in Singapore. And I distinctly remember that one six hit by Jayasurya went all the way to the Singapore Supreme Court steps. It cleared the stadium and it was out there on the so
that's some memory, Rudra, because you know that happened I think 24 years ago and there's no way you can forget this, right? Because you saw it as a kid.
Exactly, you can't forget it. And the ground was really small. I remember that the ground was really small. But the fact is that once you have the confidence that yes, I can go for my shots, I won't get caught out, it's not too much of a risk. Then when you connect, you connect. You know, it doesn't matter after you connect what the size of the ground is.
Okay, wait. Just to be really fair, Sharjah and Dubai and Abu Dhabi are most certainly not Singapore. I mean, they're small, but they're not tiny. But, you know, it's still easy to clear the ground. Two examples here. There was one in that game where, you know, Dhoni left the chase for a little too late, as he's been doing. In the final over, one of his sixes off Tom Curran basically was picked up and the cameras found this guy. So basically the ball cleared the entire ground and went and smashed against some Indian or Pakistani diner on the other side of the street. And then the next ball, they found the cameras caught the owner holding the ball and, you know, smiling gleefully to himself. So that was one example. But the real example of how small the grounds are and how much the boundary ropes are pulled in, which was your point, was in the final ball of the 18th over. Pollard was anyway going after Chahal. Doesn't get hit like this usually. But that last ball was the flattest and straightest six. Like, basically, I think Pollard just wanted the strike and he didn't loft Chahal. He just whacked him straight back. You know, one of those shots that you hear that the umpire is going to get hit by?
Right.
It flew at about 6 feet from the ground. Like, you know, the height of any average cricketer's head. And smashed into the ground just beyond the boundary rope. Now, Pollard looked amazed. Kohli couldn't believe what happened. Like, you know, he made those eyes that he usually does. Yeah. And everyone in the Mumbai Indians dressing room were like, man, that's like we're seeing something unreal here, but it was also because of the size of the ground.
Right. So, but a whole lot of unreal cricket going on, and you raised a point a little earlier, which is that is this going to be a very high scoring IPL? I think not, because I think this will be a story of maybe two halves. And this is the first, as we're seeing the first half of the IPL when the pitches are still fresh. There's still a little bit of you know, bounce and something in the pitch, and the ball is coming onto the bat, and you know you can play your shots freely. I think there is no way that you have three venues hosting them as many matches as they are, and the pitch is not getting tired. You know, the pitch is not becoming sticky and slow, and you know, just not giving enough bounce, and you know, that's going to make it harder and harder for people to score the way they have been scoring right now. So I think the business end of the IPL, the second half of the IPL, you're not going to see maybe scores that high. But nonetheless, you could still have like the most exciting chases you can think of, which is what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, I think that this previous argument came from your extremely puritanical sense of cricket and how you like to watch it. You know, the fact that like you like batsmen and bowlers to kind of have an opportunity, because I have a feeling, I hope you're right, but I think you're mistaken, because in the Middle East, especially, these concrete wickets are quite, you know, a feature, because I remember this series in which Misbah Ulhaq, there was a test series against Australia. I should know this well, but I don't at this point. I think it was the final day of a three-match series played on the same wicket, if I'm not mistaken. And Misbah was, you know, just clearing his left foot and tonking the ball on, on basically bounce, because it was the same as the first day of the series. And hit what was back then the fastest 100 in Test cricket, which was later broken by Baz McCullum, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I should know these numbers. But those are the wickets that we're talking about. I'm glad we moved our attention to the surface from just the size of the ground, because that is also going to ensure that we're going to see a lot of these 200-run posts and chases. It's going to make for crazy viewing for the viewers, but I mean, it's going to get a bit repetitive very soon.
Well, but you know, I mean, the other thing about crazy viewing is look at the people who are doing this, you know, and that is a great story. That's a great story. That's a story that only basically happens at the IPL, and it's what makes it special, at least for me, which is that the first chase, it was all about Rahul Tewatia. And you know, and he came in and he faced these like 10 or 15 odd balls, or 20 balls, I think, without really getting off the mark. He's not being able to score. He's just like, you know, taking a few singles, and everybody's thinking, okay, what's this guy doing out there? He doesn't belong there. Just call him back, you know, maybe just retire hurt this guy and then have him back in the pavilion. Anything but this guy, right? And of course, Rahul Tewatia, journeyman cricketer. I mean, he's been, you know, even in and out of his Ranji team in Haryana, has never done anything truly special in that way. Though obviously keeps doing well enough to get picked in IPL teams, and clearly there's something in him that everybody sees. And then we all got to see what that something in him is. And, you know, 5 sixes against Cottrell in the 18th over, and that 86 wow. runs from, you know, the last five of the 27 balls, actually. And you know, do you remember the only other batsman who's hit 5 sixes in an over in the IPL?
Chris Gayle?
Chris Gayle, that's it. You know, it was Chris Gayle in 2012. Well done. So
you know what? You know that, it's very easy, Rudra. I actually didn't remember that, but you know, when it comes to big numbers in a single over in the IPL, if you're a quizzing man, like there's just one name that you should just throw out there, and it often sticks. Sorry, continue.
And that's the thing, no. So now you have to add another name to Chris Gayle, and that's Rahul Tewatia. Right, everybody knows it, and you know, he's having fun on Twitter right now saying, "Oh, did I arrive a little late?" and things like that. But what an innings, incredible innings! And then we suddenly got to know all about this guy who's been playing cricket all his life. He comes from a very sporting family in Haryana. I think his uncles played hockey, his grandfather was a wrestler, a traditional Pehlwan. You know, doing the dumbbell circuit. So, what a wonderful story right there on Tewatia. And then last night it was Ishan Kishan, who's again in an incredible story, all bling and tattoos. And you know, in the 2016 World Cup, he was I think hauled up for drunk driving. And then, do you remember who his deputy was? He was captain of the team.
Oh, was his deputy Rishabh Pant?
It was. No. You have all the answers, boss. People will think we are setting this up.
Oh,
if you've spoken about this before. And
that was a good team, right? Because I think Prithvi Shaw was also in it. So, you know.
He was, yes. And Rishabh Pant was his deputy. And of course, Rishabh Pant then, from then on, has become, you know, almost a fixture in the Indian team. And Ishan Kishan has kind of lost his way. Yeah. But here he was, scoring 99 runs and doing brilliantly. So, those are really amazing stories that we get to see from the IPL.
Yeah, I really wouldn't be surprised if just based on that one knock, Ishan Kishan kind of gets his chance with the Indian team now. This is just the kind of stuff that used to bug me earlier, you know, when people use the IPL to like springboard their...
hold on, there's also Sanju Samson in the line, no?
Oh, and yeah,
he has only one innings. He's hitting every match he's hitting, he's doing well.
No, but what I witnessed yesterday was just I know Sanju Samson is in the form of his life. He's been in this kind of form in the IPL in the past and kind of gotten one T20i after this. But just really based on one innings, that was, it wouldn't be too far away from possibly my favorite IPL innings of all time. I mean, that's what Ishan put.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something.
I mean, like, let's not even go by what really got, a man who's in the news now, Sunny Gavaskar's GOAT last night. He was just obsessed with the fact that, Kishan didn't get to 100. Yeah. You know, the 100 was, it was irrelevant. Like, just the way he was playing yesterday. It was 5 to win from 2. In fact, it was 17 from 4. He hit 2 sixes to get to 99. 5 from 2, that ball was going to go for a 6. He later explained in the dugout when he wasn't sent back to bat out again. He was explaining to the guy sitting around him that the bat slipped from his hand because his gloves were really wet. I just think he was upset that he wasn't out there again in the middle. It was fabulous. I hope he's India's answer to our keeper top order batsman because he can really be it. I mean, just this one innings convinced me. But before we get carried away by the big guys, you know, the next big things in batting, I just want to put a word out there for Navdeep Saini because he was really the man of the match yesterday. That 19th over that was just sensational. Sensational. It made me look forward to what this guy can do for us, for India, you know.
Yeah, and with Jasprit Bumrah in partnership. Like, can you imagine? That's cool will that be?
Exactly. You saw what Bumrah did in the Super Over. But him and Mohammad Shami, because I have to come to Shami too, because, you know, immediately after the pressure was really on Rajasthan, they needed 84 from 30. And then there was a 22-run over. And then Shami comes on to bowl with two guys who are... And then get Samson on 85. Samson's making a habit of not getting to his hundreds. Maybe that's the new... a batsman for India. You know, guys who score like the best 80s, 90s and don't care about the triple digit score. And then really reels them in till, you know, Uthappa kind of like nicks two fours right at the end. Shami and Saini. Please, Rudra, take this away.
Yeah, Shami, Saini, Bumrah. I mean, basically what we're saying is Bumrah, Shami, Saini. And what we're saying is Bhuvaneshwar Kumar's career is probably over. and it's no laughing matter. But it's a cause for joy because we have like, you know, we had suddenly India had one of the best bowling, if not the best bowling attack, fast bowling attack in the world. Right, and we are seeing a second generation stepping up to fit into those slots. I mean, because Shiva Mavi is another incredibly good bowler. I think Nagarkoti could be there, but Navdeep Saini, Shami, Bumrah. I think I can't wait to see them in all formats of the game.
Should we be purists and end it on that note? Because, you know, is there a better way to wrap up a show about destruction and runs and sixes and 150 runs from five balls, two fast bowlers who possibly, you know, shone through all this carnage. I think to talk about fast bowlers and to give them the conclusion of a story, a narrative about batsmen is the best credit that we can give to them. So absolutely. Well done. Or three. You keep saying three. I keep forgetting about Bumrah because, you know, he's so well established, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
one big reason. I was really rooting for Isuru Udana yesterday when he was bowling that final over to Ishan Kishan. It's just that Kishan absolutely mauled him. Now, you know, he has a beautiful slower ball and all of that. But a lot of me backing Udana came from what Saini had pulled off in the previous over. Right? I mean, Kishan still hit Saini for six. But I think there was, apart from a wide and a single, there were almost no runs in the first four balls. So that's real credit to, you know, fast bowling and Indian fast bowling at that. So, yeah, more to them and more to them. Hopefully, they will keep the 200s down, but I don't think that's going to be possible.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully the next episode is about some great fast bowling then, because I think we can both like really get into that. But
I think that's definitely what's going to happen.
No chance, boss. All right. Thanks for listening. This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.